Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Happy Monday, Cleveland. The Cavs are officially trailing the Indiana Pacers 1-0 after playing a game at Rocket Arena. It stings. We'll talk a lot about it. It's okay. We'll get over it. Guardians currently in a rain delay, as you heard in Anthony's update. It's Jake Volnick with the guys here from 7 to 11 tonight. Jack Scurry on the board and Anthony Lant on the 2020s and doing work behind the glass. Today just couldn't have, it was already going off to a bad start after watching the Cavs last night and screaming over and over again at my TV, trying to figure out why nobody's guarding the three-point line, why RJ Nembhard has, I don't know, the most ridiculous range in one game of his entire career in the first game of Eastern Conference semifinals. It was all bad enough, okay? I was firing off texts left and right. I was angry. I'm like the worst. As soon as a commercial break hits, I get like four different text threads open. And I'm like, what are we doing here? What do we do? Donovan Mitchell's the best player on the planet. And they're not guarding the three. Okay. Just back and forth. The roller coaster of emotions going through in one game is in full effect. But then it just gets even worse today. Okay. Shocker, shocker. Not a doctor person. Okay. Is it because every time I go, they tell me I'm fat? Maybe, partially. Is it because I just don't like being there? Yes. But so I had to have blood work done, whatever, today going in, and I'm driving on my way in, and I'm like the farthest thing, I think, from a road rage driver. I'm usually very calm. Like, something will happen and my girlfriend or one of my friends that I'm driving the car with will look at me and be like, that person was completely in the wrong. That wasn't smart. And I was like, whatever. We didn't, no accident, no big deal. Today I went full road rage. Not a fun time. Today I go full road rage because left turning lane, going straight lane, right turning lane. Perfectly fine, normal occurrence. And I'm driving up on a car in the left turning lane with their left blinker on. I'm going straight. This is like 5 minutes from my house, by the way. We have not gotten far. Looking to go straight. Person in the left lane, while I'm directly next to them, decides, oh, I don't want to go left anymore, despite my left blinker being on. And full whips the wheel to the right. Luckily, was paying attention and also ripped my wheel to the right. And was lucky enough that there was no car to my right because I didn't have time to check. And then I proceeded to do what was probably classified by the law as an excessive use of the horn. I don't know. I probably held the horn down for about 7 seconds in time, which doesn't sound that long, but if you really count it out, it's quite a long time. I feel as though it was warranted. I want the person in those situations, by the way, I just want the person when they do it to have the, like, and by the way, this person did not go over into the lane, but go straight. Road rage incident, completely happening. Car in the left lane cuts me off. I have to yank my wheel to the right. I'm angry. I lay on the horn for about 7 seconds. But the really damning part of it all was that the person wasn't like, oh, I didn't know I had to go left. I had to go straight. They were like, oh, I don't need to make a left turn here. I need to make a right turn. So proceeds to go into the intersection and make a full right turn after being in the left turning lane. Not intelligent. Moving at like 25, 30 miles an hour while they do it. So yeah, I laid on the horn for 7 seconds. And which my ultimate goal, I want the person as they're turning in the complete opposite direction as they were supposed to be going to have this great feeling. as if I'm the dumbest person on the planet right now for having to do that. And I made somebody really mad. And I want you to have to lay down at night and it be one of those moments that constantly pop back into your head. And like 3 months from now, you'll be like laying there, getting ready to go to sleep. And you'll be like, hey, remember that one time I made the really stupid move and almost caused an accident? And that person got really mad. And now I have to feel really dumb about it. And I want you to have to feel that moment over and over again. I hope that 2 years down the line, you feel that moment once again and you feel the stupidity that ran through your bones. 7 seconds to lay on a horn. Too long or right in this instance? Jax, am I right? 7 seconds, is it too long? Did I go too long?
7 seconds might be a bit much there,
Jake. I waited until they finished their right-hand turn. From when they started to cut me off, I laid on the horn until they had completed their turn. Felt like an ample amount of time to let them know that they were dumb. I feel like it was, by the law, excessive use of the horn, maybe. But in my book, just the right amount. Just the perfect amount to start things off. But yeah, so you combo that with a Cavs loss. And today was just off to a bad start. I don't know, everybody came in today. Jax had down vibes because he was upset about a playoff loss. I got Anthony back there telling me that he needs to up the energy. We're just going to, listen, we're going to start off low here at a 7 o'clock. I guarantee you by the time that we finish at midnight or 11, we don't go till midnight, when we finish at 11, we're going to be happy. Unless you listen to the Fan Rewind, which you should. Make sure you listen, 11 to 12. But we're gonna be having a good time. But we do have to talk about that thing that made us all not so very happy, which was the Cavs dropping a game last night that you look at the box score and you think, oh, you know, probably pretty tightly contested. But there was truthfully never a moment that I felt the Cavs were in control in the slightest in that game. It felt like you were playing off the back foot, which you were for a majority of it. But even when they had taken the lead, even early on, it felt like the Cavs were never playing Cavs basketball. They felt out of sync for the entirety of the game. They felt like they were being outmanned, just absolutely outstrength, right? They were being outshot. They were being outdefended in every way that the Cavs are normally very strong as a unit. They looked like the complete opposite. And then today, again, just continued to get worse because we already knew we were dealing with Darius Garland having to be on the back burner. Is he going to be ready? But then head coach Kenny Atkinson goes through and proceeds to deliver some more bad news about the Cavs roster and their injury report.
Utmost respect for Indiana and Rick and how they coach, and I don't think they were dirty plays, but I think it passed the line of physicality. That line we've kind of been talking about where it became excessive. So number one was the non-call on DeAndre's layup. Everyone in the world just look at that play, and they reviewed it, and I'm just like in shock. I don't know, and I guess I got to know the rules better, so maybe I don't know the rules. I felt he got absolutely obliterated and dislocated his thumb, so he'll be questionable. And then Evan, around the same time, I can't remember if it's before or after, Turner contests his two-point shot, comes under, clearly under him, right? Shooters need space to land and is pushed off balance, in kind of our opinion, and tweaks his ankle pretty bad. I think you guys saw him limping the rest of the game. He'll be questionable. But I have a problem when we got, you know, two of our best players doubtful for tomorrow's game. It's hard for me to get my head around that.
So you obviously hear Kenny being upset, but you get the injury report update as well. DeAndre and Evan Mobley, sort of a semantics thing for Kenny Atkinson there, either questionable or doubtful. I'm going to lean towards questionable, but it doesn't sound great. The fact that you even throw the word doubtful into the mix doesn't leave me feeling very confident about where the Cavs are heading. Because let me tell you, if you don't get Darius back, or even if you do, and then on top of that are missing Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter, I'm not saying you're toast. I'm not saying you're done. Because without Darius Garland last night, you should not have been toast. You should not have been done. You should have had still a fair fighting chance within that game and within this series if there was no Darius Garland. The problem is when you start to combo injuries. And we're talking about the deemed here on overtime with Jake Volnick, the Sinister Six, now potentially missing three out of the six guys. That feels like a major issue. And that's when injuries start to stockpile and become a massive difference maker in a series. That's where you start to look at them and say, okay, yeah, it does feel like this is going to be a series that is very Indiana heavily favored without three of the best players on the floor. And if I'm looking at that and these guys are doubtful and Darius isn't able to go, game two just went from, well, you can make adjustments, you can bounce back, to, oh no, the Cavs are in real serious danger of dropping the first two games of this series in which they're at home, and then with all the momentum riding against them, having to travel and go play against the Pacers. 216-474-0092. The Cavs injuries have them in trouble. And I just don't know whether or not I can look at injuries as an excuse. I'll explain that coming up on 5. You guys can also get to me at Vol McJake, V-O-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot coming up tonight, including we'll talk some Browns in the 9 o'clock hour. 9:20, Cameron Justice, News Channel 5, going to join us and break down a Browns quarterback room, the ripple effects of the draft and where we're at, and continuing on from there. Station Buzz at 7:40, Get a Grip at 9. The Guardians get underway. We'll react to them as well. But right now, 216-474-0092. Do Cavs injuries have them in serious trouble? We'll get to your calls coming up and more on this in about 5 minutes. You're listening to Overtime with Jake Melnick with the guys here until 11 on The Fan.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Now, DeAndre Hunter with a dislocated thumb, Evan Mobley tweaked his ankle, and all of a sudden, three of your top probably six players are getting ready to not be available for game two. I hear dislocated thumb for DeAndre Hunter and immediately think, yeah, there's probably a good shot at DeAndre Hunter's not playing in game two.
We got bigger problems than DeAndre Hunter injuries and stuff on our hands right now.
I mean, we're hoping that DeAndre Hunter has a way to work tomorrow, okay? We're hoping that he at least can make it down to the arena, let alone play in the game. But, yeah, I mean, you're looking at a Cavs team right now, though, that is down Darius Garland already and up in the air again, heading into a game two. And then you add Evan Mobley and you add DeAndre Hunter into the mix. I just think that it begins to be a situation that you look at and start to probably even rationalize the fact that, yeah, of course we're going to sit here and root for the Cavs. We're going to cheer them on. But if you're missing all three of those guys in a game two, the likelihood for winning game two does just significantly get worse. Right? I mean, we're talking about having to run extended minutes for Isaac Okoro, who I thought was abysmal last night. We have to run extended minutes for guys like Sam Merrill, Dean Wade. You might even have to add in somebody who's typically not on the floor, like a Javonte Green or a Craig Porter Jr., just to supplement those guys not being out there, right? Missing three of your guys, somebody's going to have to be added into the rotation. Maybe Tristan Thompson, who knows? it's just going to be significantly more difficult. And I don't know that I want to label it as making an excuse for the Cavs, but it's got to be pretty darn close. It has to be close where if you're actually looking at the results of the game and saying, yeah, I mean, when you don't have those three guys, not that you're expected to lose, but yeah, sort of in a way you are. If you don't have those three players, I think that the momentum in the series does shift into, well, yeah, Indiana probably becomes favored. They probably should be the team that wins this. If you remove those three players off the floor and off the Cavs roster, Indiana would probably be the team that's ranked high. They'd probably be the team that's favored in this series. The Cavs wouldn't be nowhere near a one seed. I just don't know that we can pin it strictly on injuries because part of it also comes down to being a physical team for me. You have to get a little bit stronger. You have to be a little bit tougher. Like, you don't see anybody on Indiana banged up after this series. Everybody on the Pacers is walking out of this scot-free. And I understand Kenny Atkinson throwing out there, he felt that the physicality crossed the line. And I don't know, the exact Evan Mobley play is not one that I remember off the top of my head of him being undercut and tweaking his ankle, so I can't talk on that play specifically. But obviously, on the Benedict Mathurin block of DeAndre Hunter, I can go and look, and I remember that play vividly, and I remember DeAndre being down after it. Somehow the review doesn't go through. Look to me to be a blatant foul. You go forearm to the chest before making contact. Jackson shaking his head. That's 100% a foul every day of the week.
It was so clean.
He practically clotheslined him before he got the block.
Looking at it in the stadium on the jumbo, I mean, everybody else was booing around me. I was like, that's just a fantastic block.
Too much contact in the air. Way too much contact in the air, in my opinion. Like, again, that's one, though, that's like, yeah, I think it stepped over the line. I don't think that's a clean block at all. You have a guy wide open in the air, flying at the rim. Like, yeah, you have all the right to go up and attempt to block it. You get contact after you hit the ball, it's one thing. You get contact and you basically leverage yourself up with a forearm to the chest. That feels like a stretch to me of a clean block. Good highlight. Wasn't called a foul. We'll definitely be going on the Benedict Mathurin playoff highlight reel, which probably concludes after that clip. But yeah, you can't just go through and look at those plays and say, okay, clearly the Pacers were just more physical. It's not being ruled a foul. It went to review, was not ruled a foul. The Cavs have to be the team in my eyes to adjust to that. You can't continue to get bullied around. You can't continue to be pushed down and be hitting the deck every time, looking back, looking for a foul call. At some point, and it should be this game one for the Cavs, it's sort of your, for this iteration of the roster, you're welcome to the playoff moment. There's going to be times where you're not getting calls. There's going to be times where you feel like there's ticky-tack fouls on the other side that are being called on you, and you're getting hammered on the other side, and it's not getting called. At some degree, you have to just fight through it and be the tougher team. So I can't just blame it all on injuries because the intensity, the playoff intensity in general and the physicality was clearly in the side of the Pacers in that game. The Cavs did not have it offensively and defensively, but did just not bring the physicality they needed to bring in that series. They did not match throughout that game. As Indiana continued to put their shoulder down and commit hard fouls, the Cavs were completely content walking away with like the hand-on-the-back foul in the first quarter from Evan Mobley. When you get to the playoffs, and maybe this is old man screaming at cloud, but it does get to a point where it's like, if you're going to foul him, at this point you kind of got to foul him hard. Right? If they're going to be calling it, get your money's worth. There is something too in this game that's not, hey, go play dirty, go absolutely be gross and make sure somebody's walking out of there with an injury. But make sure if they're going to charge the lane and they're going to try to work the ball inside, that every time they do, they remember what happened the last time they came in. Like, yeah, you have to give a little bit of a bump. make them, you know, aware of the fact that if you go in here, at least mentally, you're not going to want to come back. You have to be physical on the interior, and this is a team that is built to be physical on the interior. Not that Evan Mobley's a dominating physical presence, but he's a dominating defensive presence. Jared Allen is very capable of delivering a hard foul as he has to within the paint. I think that you have to flip that switch if you're the Cavs. And going into a game two, down a couple of guys or not, you got to show a little bit more physicality. 216-474-0092. Are injuries an excuse for you if these prove to be a little bit longer term for the Cavs if they were to lose the series? Let's go out to the phones. Man who's always here after the game, even showing up a day late. Mayor of basketball, Ken in Brooklyn. What's going on, Ken?
Good morning, Jake, or good afternoon, Jake. Listen, this is a mass unit right now, okay? But I think they're going to find a way to play, all right? They're going to – hey, I've had bad toes, okay? It's not a fun experience. Put a pad underneath the toe, and then you can cut. The trainers in there should know that, okay? But here's what I would do. We're going to unleash Operation Bad Boys, okay? Yeah, a little takeoff from those people up to the north of us. Because I'm going to tell you something. Not only am I going to go after their players, but I'm going to make sure if I'm near the sideline that I just kind of bump into Mr. Carlisle. Because that's where it came from. Okay? I'm going to let them know. You want to play games? We're going to put a couple of your guys out too. And I mean that. Guy goes up for a shot, bang him in the floor. Because I'm not playing this game, Indiana. You want to put our guys out? We're going to do the same thing to you and see who can play now. I mean it. I'm serious. What I saw last night is crap, all right? And this isn't basketball. And I agree with Kenny. And by the way, congratulations, Coach. You were named Coach of the Year. This is in today's day and game, this, as Kenny said, goes over the top. And I'm going to make sure that one of your guys are walking out of here with a cast. Because I ain't going to put up with this. You're not going to destroy my team and think you're a big shot. Period. I am going to put them in the stands where they should be. And sitting on the bench and not playing. Because you basically did that last game.
Yeah, and Ken, we're up against it. I gotta let you go, but I appreciate the calls always. I mean, I just, again, like, that to me, like, matching that is not bully ball. Like, that is bully ball, but it's not the way that I want to see things go down. I don't want to have to see you actually show a little bit of extra intensity and play in a dirty way, but I'm definitely upping the physicality. I'm not going out of here as my team gets ran over and not giving a little something back. You have to toughen up if you're the Cavs. And I don't know the severity of any of the injuries besides a dislocated thumb for DeAndre Hunter. I don't know what Darius looks like. At this point, I don't know what Evan Mobley's ankle looks like. But if there's a way you go, and we see both of these guys finishing out a game one, if you're going to play the cautious model of things, your season's done after this. Like, if you lose this series, you don't play again. You got the offseason to recover, unfortunately. If it's a little painful, a little tough to cut for Darius, well, it's going to be a little painful and a little tough to cut. If you finish up this series fast enough, you'll have about a week break, right? Like, there is something that has to come into play. And again, I don't know the severity. Maybe that's not a possibility. Not hands down saying it is, but at some point, you got to get back out on the floor, and at some point, you have to battle through injuries. A lot of teams are doing it in the NBA, and you no longer have the luxury of having control of a series if you start to go down. 216-474-0092. We'll get your calls coming up on the other side, as well as the station buzz. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys right here.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I'm a fan. Did want to get to a couple more of your calls here on the Cavs updated injury report and the way the game one went down. You have DeAndre Hunter, Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, all at least generously questionable heading into a game two. Let's go back out of the phones. Jeffrey's in Cleveland. Jeffrey, what's going on?
Yeah, hey, did you see yesterday? Here's one of the Cavs' problems. You might not agree with it, but if you watched the game yesterday, one of their problems is their defense is stopping too short. They're stopping at the three-point line, okay? Well, Carlisle figured that out. If they stop at the three-point line, these guys are shooting 2 to 3 feet behind the three-point line, getting wide-open shots. They're going to have to extend their defense past the three-point line and make them shoot 4 to 5 feet out, you know, because if they stop at the three-point line, what – Indiana is doing stepping back 2 to 3 feet and make a wide open three, because that's one of their problems. Okay, but if they can push them back a little bit more, okay, they can solve that. Now the other problem they're having is the same problem they have every year. They run out of gas. Did you see this play? 2 minutes left in the game. This guy Turner, under the basket, 7-foot guy under the basket, all by himself. Get the offensive rebound. Everybody just stand there and watch them put it back in the basket. That's because they ran out of fuel, man. But, you know, we can beat these guys. I know we can. There's no way they can beat us. But they got to stop the three, and they got to stop running out of fuel. Go Cavs.
Jeffrey, I appreciate the call. Most definitely go Cavs. We're going to get talking a little bit more about the individuals of Game 1 coming up here. Within the 8 o'clock hour, so I'm not going to completely spoil that. But yeah, I think the defense was definitely a problem. I don't think it was just their defense along the three-point line, and I don't necessarily agree that they ran out of gas. Within the game, I think the specific play you reference was more so an unlucky bounce and a bad box out by Evan Mobley. It's going to happen from time to time. 2 minutes in the game, you hate to see it happen, but I think there were bigger issues that I want to sort of focus in on. Let's sneak one more call in here, though. Let's go to BP's and Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, Jake. How you doing tonight?
I'd be better with the Cavs win, but I'm doing all right.
I'd be better if the Cavs had a healthy, 12 healthy bodies for tomorrow's game.
That would certainly help.
I'm starting to get very concerned. I was at the game last night. I felt the refs really blew it, especially on the DeAndre Hunter play. To me, that play was the whole game. I thought he was fouled. I thought it was a flagrant, and then they came down and hit a three on top of it. So that was almost like a 7-point swing, you know what I mean? Because
yeah,
he was clearly fouled. I mean, and that wasn't the first time. They were like trying to hack us. And I mean, they're not a dirty team, but they were ultra aggressive. And I thought the refs should have taken control, and they didn't. So I really blame the refs for some of the, really for DeAndre Hunter's injury. And I just felt though the refs lost control of that game. And I think I saw from my own eyes that, Donovan Mitchell was gassed. He basically brought them back. They went up by 1 point with like 5 minutes to go, but he was gassed. He was like bent over. I've never seen him do that, in the last couple of years. So he was like putting it all out there. And if we're going to be injured like this, if Garland's not coming back, if, Hunter's going to be out, Mobley, we're going to be in big trouble, obviously. But, like the caller just said, our defense hasn't been great, for most of the year, especially against the three-point line. I mean, last night they had 19 threes. We had 9, so that's not going to work, where they're outscoring us by like 9 or 10 threes. But if, you know, I do, I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, you know, the Cavs back in the 90s were soft, you know, with Brad Doherty and Price and those guys, and I hope this Cavs team isn't soft, but I don't know. You know, they were beaten up pretty good last night, I have to say. I mean, I think Indiana definitely got the better of them. Hopefully they can bounce back, but, you know, I don't know. I'm very concerned about this Cavs team.
Yeah, and I think rightfully so, BP, and I appreciate the call. I think to some degree, you probably do look at this Cavs team. And again, I think you have to turn up the intensity. But I think Indiana really dominated what they wanted to do. Right? When you go out from the jump of a series, from the jump of a game, in, you talked about it. They were ultra aggressive. They were physical. And what you feel is the ref sort of losing control of the game. And to me, I look at it as, everybody understands this is playoff basketball. Nobody wants to go and watch a game where the whistle's blown 25 times in the first two quarters, right? And it's just a free throw galore. Nobody wants to watch that. The refs understand that. The league understands that. There's an understanding that once you get to the playoffs, the intensity turns up. The physicality turns up. They're not just going to have their whistle sitting in their mouth ready to blow at any point. I think that what actually happened was Indiana came out playing a physical brand of basketball on defense. The Cavs came out playing a little bit softer brand of basketball. And because of that, when there's a little bit more contact on the Cavs defensive end, you're getting the calls that, as Indiana was delivering it all game long, you're like, well, I'm not going to call a foul on that every time. It's the way they're playing defense every single time in the paint. They've been doing it from the jump. We didn't call it before. We can't call it now. And you just saw that maybe again, maybe it went too far. Maybe it escalated just a little bit past where it should have been. But I think Indiana set the tone. I think they clearly showed we're going to be a physical team. If you guys are going to go out here and play a soft game, from the referee standpoint, you're going to blow the whistle on everything. We'll adapt. We're going to make you blow the whistle before we actually got an adapt. And the Cavs were out there playing a softer version of defense. And, I mean, that's props to Indiana. That's what you get away with in the playoffs. You want to be a more physical team, you have more of a luxury to do so. You just have to do it from the jump. You have to go out there and impose your will from the actual tip. And the Cavs came out in the first quarter and defensively, I thought, looked a little sluggish and weren't playing their best brand of basketball, both offensively, where I felt like they were on the verge of just about turning everything over and were out of control every time they went down the lane. And then also defensively, you know, just lacking. Not getting to where they needed to be, not putting on the intensity, not making a hard contact on plays that were going to the lane. It's things that you have to do, and I expect the Cavs to make an adjustment, but the unfortunate part that you're running into is that adjustment might be coming just potentially a game too late. Jax, I saw you shaking your head again. So you're shaking it. We got to talk about the Benedict Mathurin foul on the DeAndre Hunter layup.
I just don't like everybody saying like the refs lost us that game. It's playoff basketball. Everybody during the regular season says, well, they want physical basketball like this. And then when they do it, everybody's complaining that the refs aren't giving the Cavs. It's like, pick one. Don't be a hypocrite when it's not going your way. Because if Jared Allen would have blocked Benedict Mathurin like that, nobody would be saying a word about this. Nobody. It was a clean block. Like, that's a playoff basketball block. There's a little contact going up, but I mean, he got all ball.
He got all ball at the top. There
I
was
don't
no
see
doubt.
Any way that they would reverse that when looking back at it on replay or a bang bang call either way. Like, it was a clean block. They made the right call.
I thought there was too much contact. Like, I agree with your first point. Like, yes. There's no way you look at that game and go, well, the refs cost us that game. There's no shot.
I just hate that type of
mentality.
They're being such hypocrites. Like, people are being very hypocritical.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. I mean, there's so many different things to look at throughout that game. The constant isolation ball on the offensive side, the lack of perimeter defense up until the third quarter, and then at times even beyond that. Again, we've been talking a lack of physicality. The refs did not go out there and lose you. The game in game one is not the way that it happened. Again, I can disagree with you. I thought it was a foul. I thought there was too much contact at the top. Before he got to the ball, I felt there was too much contact. But either way, you don't look at that game and go, oh, well, the refs really blew that one. Not in my eyes. I feel like that's one that you look at and say, well, were there moments that I feel like the refs got it wrong? Yeah, welcome to the NBA. The refs say there's going to be moments within every single game that you look at probably 5 to 10 times and go, I don't agree with this call at all. Not every call is going to go your way. It's a shame that DeAndre Hunter went down on that play. But it's just not going to go. The Cavs have to play better basketball. They have to be more physical, and they have to be more efficient offensively. There's no way that the refs are what took you out of that game. It was much more the Cavs' own play. Still going to defend my take that Benedict Mathurin committed a foul on that play, but we can leave that where it is. All right. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, we're going to get to the station buzz and more in the 8 o'clock hour on whether or not the Pacers showed up or the Cavs simply did not. That's coming your way at 8:20. You're listening to Overtime with Jake Volnick with the guys right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.